It's Scott on Tuesday, April 7th. I am reading from today's Taunton Daily Gazette. And the lead story is a question in the headline. Is Walsh running against State Rep Field? It's written by Emma Rindlisbacher, a Taunton Daily Gazette staff writer. Is Taunton Police Chief Ed Walsh primarying Democrat Lisa Field for Taunton State Representative? Walsh did not immediately respond to questions on the matter, but a 2026 nomination paper sign-out log provided by the Massachusetts Secretary of State's office indicates that he took out nomination papers to run as a Democrat against Field on Friday, March 13th. Walsh would have time to serve as state rep. Barring any new developments, he will be retiring as the city police chief in October of this year when he turns 65. In 2024, the Taunton City Council voted to request the State House and State Senate extend Walsh's retirement from age 65 to 70. But the legislation stalled, and last week, on March 24th, the council voted against supporting the legislation, which, barring any new developments, means Walsh will still have to retire at age 65 after all. On March 13th, the day that the log indicated Walsh had pulled papers to run, was also the date of a meeting where two of the three state representatives who represent Taunton indicated they would support extending Walsh's retirement age. Field, the third Taunton state rep Walsh took out papers to run against, said she was, quote, neutral on the issue. The state primary is Tuesday, September 1st. The general election is Tuesday, November 3rd. Here's what we know about a potential primary challenge against State Representative Lisa Field, who, for her part, told the Taunton Daily Gazette, "I welcome it," when asked about a Walsh primary challenge. "I've heard the news that another candidate has announced they'll be entering the race for the 3rd Bristol District," Field said. "Democracy works best when voters have choices. I have deep respect for those who choose to step up and serve their community in any capacity. As we head into this campaign season," she said, "I'm reminded that what unites us is far greater than what divides us. The 3rd Bristol District deserves a representative who shows up, listens, and fights for the issues that matter most. That's exactly what I'll continue to do." Former Taunton City Councilor Larry Quintal is running for the same state rep district, but as a Republican. He also ran against Field in 2025, but narrowly lost. His campaign spokesperson, Holly Robichaud, said, "I think this is a reflection that Lisa Field has failed to serve the people of Taunton and Easton," when asked about Walsh's primary challenge. "We believe that Larry Quintal will be the candidate in order to fill that void," Robichaud said. Walsh changed his party registration from independent to Democrat in February of this year, according to Mark Pacheco, Taunton's elections director. To run for state representative in Massachusetts, a candidate needs to collect at least 150 signatures from registered voters, which then need to be certified. The deadline to submit nomination papers for state representative is April 28th. And the deadline to file the paperwork with the Secretary of State's office is May 26th. To run as a Democrat or a Republican, a candidate needs to be registered in that party for at least 90 days prior to the deadline to file paperwork with the Secretary of State's office. Walsh registered as a Democrat on February 22nd, which means he met that 90-day requirement with 2 days to spare. This story is headlined, "How She Rebuilt Her Life After a Deadly Hospital Crash." It's written by Sue Scheibel of the Patriot Ledger, part of the USA Today network. The accident tore apart her life almost 20 years ago, and to this day, Janine Adams has never been able to remember much about it. What she does remember are all the people who have helped her from the moment she woke up in the emergency department at Brockton Hospital, where she had worked for almost 30 years as a radiation therapist. She wants to thank them and hopes her story might help someone else. Other people had to tell her the first shocking details that evening as she lay covered in bed in the hospital. It was October 15th, 2007. Just after lunch at about 1 p.m., Adams, then 47 years old, was standing by the front desk in the hospital's first floor radiation therapy department, where she was the manager. She needed to call a patient about scheduling. She had just looked out the front door and watched a bus go around the U-shaped driveway when a car, driven by a patient, crashed through the glass doors into the reception desk near the waiting area. Dr. Mark Vassa of Norwell, who was 58 years old, the chief of the Department of Radiation Oncology, died almost instantly as the brown Oldsmobile Delta 88 ran over his upper body. Longtime Secretary Susan Plant of East Bridgewater, who was 59 at the time, was seated in her chair and also took a direct hit. She died a few hours later. Adams, who had been standing next to Plant, ended up on the floor, pinned against a wall with the car's front right tire pressing shattered pieces of the wall against her body. Her pelvis was broken. Her right thigh bone was fractured in 18 places and had been twisted facing backwards. She lost three teeth, her eye socket had been fractured, and she sustained a brain injury. She does remember opening her eyes, seeing all white, asking what had happened, and being told, "You've been in an accident." Her husband, Charles, visited her immediately that evening. When he returned the next day, he was speaking in a confused and strange way. He was evaluated and quickly sent to a Boston hospital with complications of a brain hemorrhage, believed to have been caused by high blood pressure and the shock of his wife's accident. Her husband, a pharmacist, became disabled and would require care at home and later in a nursing home. He died 2.5 years later. Adams was expected to survive, but with an uncertain outcome. How she slowly recovered and found the strength to rebuild her life has been an inspiration to her family, friends, and former co-workers. She immediately had lost her livelihood in healthcare, work she had loved since high school, as well as the ability to engage in most of the activities she enjoyed, which included kayaking, gardening, and hiking. Adams, 66 years old, who lives in Hanson, grew up in Weymouth. Her mother was a nurse. On a recent day, after she played her weekly game of Mahjong at the Rockland Senior Center, she volunteered as an usher at both the Company Theater in Norwell and at Memorial Hall in Plymouth. The next day, she was on duty at Buddy and Friends Animal Rescue in Pembroke, where she's a volunteer supply coordinator for the director Tiffany McNeil and delivers material donations. She also volunteers every Tuesday at the Hanson Food Pantry. A social media post for the Pembroke Animal Rescue described Janine's incredible talent for finding deals and stretching every dollar in purchasing food, crates, cots, grooming equipment, and even a dog treadmill. She connects with local businesses, collects donations, and builds relationships that keep the shelter running smoothly. Evelyn Mavilla of Holbrook was the nurse manager on duty when the accident happened that day. Mavilla, who is now 73 and retired, remembers it as the worst day of my life because I did not know what to do. We all sat in the emergency room while the doctors were working on the people who had been injured. Mavilla remembers seeing Adams on the floor, lying against the wall, with wall fragments pressed against her body. Only her hair was visible above the broken wooden fragments. Mavilla said, "I thought she was dead." She remembers smoke was everywhere, and after the emergency responders arrived, Janine being quickly moved to the Brockton Hospital Emergency Department. Mavilla waited before she went to check on her. I lifted the cover over her, and in shock, I said, "Oh my God, your right leg is flat." She really got nailed. It was terrible. The leg had been crushed so badly that it looked just like skin without any bone. 2 weeks later, when Adams was able to just barely move her right leg a few inches while sitting in a wheelchair, Mavilia was in tears with happiness. Even that seemed a miracle. From that day, Mavilia, other friends, and Adams' own family would offer support as Adams began to reassemble her life. Her younger sister, Donna Ferrullo, was a steady source of strength, handling her husband's Boston hospital admission. It was amazing how she persevered, Ferrullo said. What happened to her was horrible, and she never once complained. She got herself through this without a lot of help. To start her recovery, which took well over 2 years, Adams needed 3 surgeries to insert a long metal rod into her right leg. The shattered bone fragments had been realigned and needed time to fuse back together. She also developed a staph infection in her leg muscle. Mavilia monitored her friend's therapy and believes it was so successful because everything they told Janine to do, she did. She said, if the physical therapist said, lift your leg 10 times and then do it again, she did it. She was just a remarkable patient. She wanted to get well so badly. She could only use one leg with a walker for 6 months and still has flashbacks about getting in and out of the shower without being able to put one leg on the ground. She then learned how to use a crutch and a walker and began learning how to walk on the weakened and shortened leg in the therapy pool at the Brockton YMCA. 10 months after the accident, she was able to drive again. Despite her pluck and small successes, she was not able to return to the work she loved. It required physical strength to lift and support patients. I was super depressed, she said. Eventually, she saw a notice for the Aquatic Partnership Program at the South Shore YMCA and decided to check it out at the Emelson branch in Hanover. The partnership program matches people who are recovering from injury or illness with volunteers who stay right with and support them at the Y. She decided to try swimming. She still had good upper body strength and felt good. That led to some Zumba classes, which really clicked with her. The staff at the Y asked if she might volunteer to support another Y member who had suffered a brain injury. Of course, Janine agreed. She was a longtime volunteer even before the accident, always helping people, Mavilia said. And as Janine got better, volunteering became her calling. People who she helped always said lovely things about her. She had learned how to reassure people facing difficult cancer treatments in her work before, and she used many of those skills in her new role at the Y. She has a unique gift for coaxing and guiding our participants to go that extra mile, according to Bill McCormick, a staff coordinator at the Y, who wrote in a newsletter about Janine 7 years after the accident. She was part of the partnership program for 4 years. Then, her only grandson was born in 2015, and she decided to devote herself to that new role. Her daughter is now 37 and had been in 4-H activities, including the Cave Canem 4-H Dog Club, while growing up. Adams had helped out in the dog club and served on the Plymouth County 4-H Advisory Board. Now, as Adams vacillated about getting and training a therapy dog to help others, her daughter stepped up, and in 2012, they went off together to New Jersey to pick up a rescue dog. Olive, a terrier mix, now 14, was trained through Dog Bones in Scituate as a therapy dog. Adams enjoyed visiting nursing homes and colleges during exam weeks and other places with her. She still does. I felt really guilty for the longest time, she said, because I wasn't giving back. I thought, what am I contributing to the world, she said in a recent interview. So that's why I started volunteering. While Janine still does have physical limitations, and she's sometimes in pain, she greets each day as an opportunity to get up, get out, and make a difference in the lives of others. She can walk with a limp, uses a cane if needed for balance, and sometimes wears a brace on her injured leg. The medial unloader knee brace provides support and she can even play pickleball in a league in Hanover. She can kayak if she uses a specially designed kayak that's easier for her to get into and out of without having to bend her leg or squat. It is a struggle getting into the kayak because my leg won't hold all my weight, she said. Sometimes I just walk out into the water thigh deep and I can transfer into the boat more easily from there, she said. She harbors no negative thoughts about the woman who was driving the car and died 2 years later. I used to say, I don't think about her. I just think about the car coming right into the building. She was on prescription medication and should not have been driving, but she said they never told her that. And her driver had gotten sick that day and canceled, so she was anxious to keep her appointment. I agreed not to press charges against her. The elderly driver did plead guilty to charges of motor vehicle homicide by negligent operation and negligent operation of a motor vehicle. She was sentenced to 18 months of probation by a Brockton District Court judge who said a stiffer sentence would have accomplished little for the woman who was 77 years old, suffering from breast cancer and diabetes, and walked with the help of a cane. This next story is headlined, Southeastern Regional Students Win Top Science Fair Awards, written by Dave DeMille of the Taunton Daily Gazette. Students from Southeastern Regional Vocational Technical High School earned top honors at the Region 5 Science and Engineering Fair that was held in March at Bridgewater State University, according to a community announcement. 8 Southeastern Regional students presented original research alongside students from 75 cities and towns across Massachusetts during the regional competition. 3 students received major awards and several others advanced to the state level. Khadija Mukasabi won the grand prize for her project, which was entitled Say Goodbye to Pests and Pesticides, Exploring the Effects of Potassium Soil Levels on Druce Idioblasts Containing Calcium Oxalate Crystals in Spinacea oleracea. She also received the Yale Science and Engineering Association Award. With the grand prize, she qualified to advance to the Mass State Science and Engineering Fair scheduled for this month in Worcester. The award also automatically qualifies her to represent Region 5 at the International Science and Engineering Fair, which is the world's largest pre-college science competition to be held next month in Phoenix, Arizona. Valerie Lind earned a second place award and the Massachusetts Life Sciences Center Trailblazer Award for her project, Topical Soil Transplantation. Olatayu Oyusi and Finnegan Sommer received a third place award and the Computing Excellence Award for their project entitled Therapy, Accessible Mental Health Screening. The three will also advance to the Massachusetts State Science and Engineering Fair in April. 5 additional Southeastern Regional students presented research projects at the regional competition. Theo Moore presented Cyber Labs. Elisa Katul presented Protect Against Toxic Waste. Usamyumi Iganoba presented Dental Diffusion. Alessandra Mendez presented Biofeedback-Based Productivity Optimization Software. And Morgan O'Donnell presented Dams, Their Effect on Organisms and Their Environment. This story is headlined, Taunton Library Offers Free April Vacation Events for Children. It's written by Beth McDermott of the Taunton Daily Gazette. The Taunton Public Library will be offering a variety of free events for children during April vacation. Activities will take place April 21st through the 24th, according to a community announcement. The upcoming events include Drums Alive Storytime between 10 and 11 a.m. on April 21st in the library auditorium. Registration is required. Plant with Rose and John, 1:30 to 3 p.m., April 21st, that will be held outside. WWE special event, 6 to 7 p.m. on April 22nd, in the auditorium. Barn Babies, 9 to 11 a.m. on April 23rd in the auditorium. Registration is required. Peter Rabbit Puppet Show, 2 to 3 p.m. on April 23rd in the auditorium. The Whale Mobile, 5 to 7 p.m. on April 23rd, also in the auditorium. Registration is required. Drop-in Playgroup, between 10 a.m. and noon on April 24th, also in the auditorium. Piggy Banks and Financial Literacy. First Citizens Federal Credit Union presents from 2 to 3 p.m. on April 24th in the auditorium. The Taunton Public Library is located at 12 Pleasant Street. For more information or to register, visit tauntonlibrary.org/events or call 508-821-1410. This is a story from the USA Today National Network. It's headlined, New CVS Locations Include a Format Change. CVS has opened the first of its new apothecary-style pharmacy-only locations of 2026. There will be more to come. The drugstore chain announced the new store format last month, saying it plans to open 20 similar locations across the country this year. These are pharmacy-only locations. The first one opened last year in Birmingham, Alabama. They consist of full-service pharmacies that fill prescriptions and offer an assortment of over-the-counter products, minus the rest of the corner store supply typically seen at CVS locations. Images of the newly unveiled location in Chicago's West End show a very much pared-down version of the CVS pharmacy counter you're likely used to seeing at your local store. Instead of taking up just a part of the roughly 3,000-square-foot space, the counter and accompanying waiting area are the main focus of the store, looking not unlike the waiting area at a medical office. The purpose of these apothecary-style stores is to enable pharmacists to have more face-to-face interaction and consultations with customers, the company says in a press release. That our new pharmacy-only locations will allow our pharmacy teams to continue to build relationships with patients, CVS Health said in a statement, and provide on-the-ground pharmacy care in communities that need us. Len Shankman, the executive vice president and president pharmacy and consumer wellness, made that comment in a statement. While the company did not share exact addresses of the new 20 pharmacy-only locations, a press release said the format will expand to Houston, Detroit, Brooklyn, New York, and the Boston neighborhood of Roxbury. CVS Health also plans to open more than 40 new CVS pharmacy locations nationwide this year, including traditional stores and Target pharmacies. Details of exact locations were not available. Like other drugstore chains, including the now-defunct Rite Aid, CVS has struggled to maintain its footprint in recent years amid competition, leading to significant downsizing efforts. The company did announce plans to close almost 300 locations in 2025, which, added to the roughly 800 net closures over the previous 3 years, as reported by the Wall Street Journal, totals more than 1,000 closures. Part of the CVS strategy has been to open more pharmacy counters within Target stores and its small in-store minute clinics for minor illnesses and injuries and simple care like vaccines. The pharmacy has also contended with a series of high-profile lawsuits alleging Medicare fraud, improper pricing, and contribution to the opioid epidemic, for which it has agreed to pay up to $5 billion over 10 years. This story is entitled, Some Brides Seek Weight Loss Drugs. Dateline Hyderabad, India. Soon-to-be brides and grooms seeking shortcuts to shed pounds before their big day have become the latest consumer target for weight loss drugs in India. New Delhi wellness clinic Clarity Skin Clinic touts a Munjaro bride package. Other clinics have woven weight loss injections into pre-wedding transformation packages, typically focused on skin treatments and hairstyle makeovers. In a social media video, Clarity offers guided nutrition, Mounjaro, and smart workouts to prepare brides to walk down the aisle. The clinic did not respond to her request for comment. Eight doctors who were interviewed by Reuters said they've been fielding inquiries from brides and some grooms about weight loss drugs before taking their vows, many asking for Eli Lilly's Mounjaro, the first GLP-1 medication to enter India's market for both diabetes and weight loss. It's become more sought after than Novo Nordisk's Wegovy, the doctors said. Over the last few months, more than 20% of the queries we've received for obesity injections are from brides-to-be. They openly give us a timeline on how soon they're getting married, said Rajat Goel, a bariatric surgeon who works at Hindavine Healthcare in New Delhi, India. He said he prescribes the drugs only if patients are medically eligible, not for cosmetic use. Weddings in India are grand affairs for families that can afford them. Many marriages continue to be arranged by families, which often bring expectations around physical appearance and financial status. Novo and Lilly launched their obesity drugs in India last year. The market is forecast to reach 860 million by 2030. Mounjaro sales doubled in the months after launch, making it the highest selling drug in the world's most populous nation. Indian drug makers began selling cheaper versions of Novo's medicine last month after the patent on semaglutide, the active ingredient, expired, thus widening access. That's all for the Taunton Daily Gazette for today, April 7th. I'm Scott. Good to have been with you.